I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Handgun World Show. My name is Bob Main, and the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 38 of the Handgun World Show, and I'm bringing this show to you again, once again, while I'm on the road driving. It is a Saturday, and no, I'm not going to an IDPA match. I'm actually going to a gun show. I'm going to see if I can pick up a good deal on some ammunition. So I got a specific purpose for going there. And kind of ironic that I'm going to pick up some ammo since we got done talking about ammo in the last show. And I'm going to talk a little bit about ammunition today as well. And in the next podcast, I'll tell you if I found a good deal and if I found what I was looking for and what I bought. And if I don't find anything, I'll tell you about that on the next show too. But if you're a first-time listener, this is a practical firearms show. You've heard me say many times, well, actually, other people have heard me say many times. If you're a first-time listener, I guess you haven't heard me say this a lot. But I'm not a gunsmith. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not ex-military. I'm not a combat pistol trainer. I'm just a private citizen. I'm a guy with a microphone. Worse yet, I'm a Yankee with a microphone. Now, I know I have people who live up in the northern part of the United States listening to this. No insult to you. Hey, I came from there. I'm from New York City. I was born in New York City. I was raised in Wisconsin. But I live now in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area, so I'm a Yankee. And every once in a while, somebody reminds me of that. And I know I have international listeners that listen to this show, so welcome. I'm just a private citizen with a microphone and a laptop that likes to talk about my experiences. I have had my concealed carry license for about 5 years, but I'm going to keep this rooted in common sense and practicality, okay? If you want to learn how to trick out your AR-15 or trick out your 1911 to make it shoot inch and a half groups at 25 yards, this may not be the podcast for you, but if you want to talk about practical shooting and concealed carry, then I think you're going to like it. So today's main subject matter is going to be about mouse guns and pocket pistols. Mouse guns and pocket pistols. They're called mouse guns because they're small, little, tiny guns. And I'll get into the explanation as to what those are and everything. And we're going to talk a little bit about some ammunition. A listener asked me a question. He asked what I thought about RBCD ammo. RBCD. So I've got some comments and I've got some ideas on RBCD ammo, and I will be able to answer that listener's question to the best of my ability. Before we jump into the main topics, couple of announcements. The website, handgunworld.com. And for those of you who are subscribed to this show on iTunes, do me a favor, go to iTunes and rate this podcast if you don't mind. Write a review if you don't mind. I'd like to get some feedback on iTunes, and positive or negative, constructive criticism, whatever, that's fine. I can deal with it. This show is your show. I want this to be a listener-based show, but I want to hear what you think. And it means a lot, and if there's passerbys that are checking out the Handgun World Show, go to iTunes, rate this podcast. If you don't use iTunes, there's a comments section under every podcast posting. If you'd use that, I would very much appreciate that. Okay, and I also know that some of you who listen to this show may have an interest in survival skills. So I do another show on modern common sense, not tinfoil hat thinking, but common sense getting prepared for some of the things that could happen to us in life. So if you're interested in that, join us over there at todayssurvival.com. We also have a very good gun forum going on over there. Very good weapons section. I'd invite you to join that forum, even if you just want to talk weapons with other people that listen to the Handgun World Show. Go over to todayssurvival.com and click the forum button and join up and talk about weapons. Okay, that's it for the announcements. Today is March 6th, by the way, Saturday, but you may not get a chance to listen to this until either late tonight or Sunday or Monday. I probably won't get it posted until late tonight on Saturday, March 6th. Anyway, dive into the main topic, mouse guns and pocket pistols. What is a mouse gun? A mouse gun is basically defined as a gun that is small enough to be able to fit into a pocket and be easily drawn from your pocket. And that's a key definition there, easily drawn from your pocket. But if it can fit into your right front hip pocket, for example, or if it can fit into the back pocket of your jeans and be totally covered up by a pocket holster, and easily drawn, quickly drawn. I mean, I've heard of people saying, oh, I could put my Glock 19 in my pocket. I've seen that stuff posted on the internet. And maybe you can fit a Glock 19 in some pockets. He didn't specify what kind of pocket. Maybe he's talking about he can fit it into his coat pocket. Or maybe he's, you know, wearing some cargo pants with really large pockets. Sure, you could fit it in there. But come on, is that practical? Do you think you could easily get your hand in there and draw that out quickly in less than a second, for example, and present that gun to be able to be pointed at the target? It's not, I would not say that a Glock 19 or a mid-size or full-size gun like that is a pocket pistol or a mouse gun. Typically, mouse guns are quite a bit smaller than that. Typically, mouse guns are things like Kel-Tec P3 ATs, the Kar P380, the new Ruger LCP 380. A lot of the mouse guns today are chambered in 380 because they're getting so good at building guns chambered in 380. And of course, out of all the mouse guns out there, 380 probably has the best stopping power. SIG has a new P238. I'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. That's a mouse gun. Also 32 caliber, 25 caliber stuff, even really small little 22s. Those are mouse guns. All right, and I'm going to talk about the limitations and how I feel about mouse guns, also called pocket pistols. A Kar PM9, which I own. Kar PM9 could be considered a mouse gun. If you put the six-round magazine in there, the magazine that fits flush with the bottom of the grip, it hides pretty well in a pocket. And yes, you can draw it from a pocket, from a front jeans pocket or a back pocket, pretty easily. With a lot of practice, again, folks, like anything else, you got to practice. I can draw mine fairly well. I can draw mine pretty quickly. I can't draw my pocket pistols faster than my belt-carried pistols. It's just almost impossible for anybody to be able to draw that as quickly. So that's one of the downsides, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later in the show. Now, let me shift gears for a minute and answer the listener's question about ammunition. He asked me about RBCD ammo. And RBCD ammo is a pretty good ammunition. It's got some pretty amazing ballistics to it. It does have some downsides, which I'm going to talk about. Let's talk about the upsides first. I promised the listener when he sent me this question that I would talk to some people that use RBCD ammo, because I've never used it. But I have a couple of really good friends that do listen to this show that have used it. And one of them responded to me by email. And here's what he said. I'll paraphrase his email, but this is what my friend said to me. He said, RBCD ammo's claim to fame is the velocity and the foot-pounds of energy. All right? Their big claim to fame is the velocity of the bullets. They use very lightweight bullets, which I'm going to talk about, and the foot-pounds of energy. In other words, how many foot-pounds, how much force are they dumping on the target? And most foot-pounds of energy is calculated at what's coming out of the muzzle of the gun. Remember that. What's coming out of the muzzle of the gun? How much energy does that bullet have when it's coming out of the muzzle? He said all rounds that they make nearly double the foot-pounds output of most other commercially available ammo with less recoil. That could be a good thing. He said they are frangible bullets, so they do not over-penetrate, and they dump all of their energy on contact with the target. Now, see, for stopping power, that's what you want. You want bullets that are going to dump all of their energy on the target and not go through. I know I've made fun of the fact that the over-penetration argument tends to be overstated, and I still believe that. But still, you don't want over-penetration. You want your bullet to stay inside your target. We're going to get to penetration in a minute, though. Penetration as to how it relates to RBCD ammo. So he said, of course, they're frangible and don't over-penetrate. He also said, a real big advantage for me is the weight. He carries 45 ACP exclusively. He said they're lightweight, and in 45, that makes a big difference. He said also if you have a high-capacity 9mm, okay, like me, right? Glock 19, high-capacity 9mm. That can make a huge difference in the weight of that gun, too. Now, I'm going to stop right here. I'll get back to his email in a minute. But concealed carry, a lot of it's all about weight balance, folks. And one of the drawbacks of a high-cap weapon, high-capacity weapon, is when you stuff that thing full of 15 to 17 rounds of 9mm, it can get a little heavy. It can weight that grip down. If you have a good holster and a good belt, it's a non-issue. Especially with the Glock 19. But it does add to the overall weight of the gun. And carrying a gun all day from morning to night, weight does become an issue. That's why Glocks and XDs and Smith & Wesson M&Ps, that's why the polymer-framed guns have gained so much popularity, because of the weight issue. They really reduce the weight. They don't seem to really cut down much on the durability of the gun. In fact, in many cases, the polymer is just as durable as a steel frame gun, and it cuts down the weight. Well, so does RBCD ammo, because they use smaller bullets. Let me get back to his email. He says, Bob, for example, 14 rounds in my XD45, Springfield XD45. Just the bullets alone, if I'm using 230 grain 45 ACP loads, just the bullet weight alone would be 3,220 grains. 14 times 230. With RBCD ammo at 80 grains each, the bullets weigh only 1,120 grains. That's almost two-thirds the weight of the normal 45 ACP ammo. Also, they are round nose design. So the feeding is excellent in the majority of pistols. Now, that's important. You know, RBCD is able to get, because it's a frangible round, they're able to get it to stop it from over-penetrating. They're able to get it to dump all of its energy right on target and keep the round nose design. Some pistols don't feed hollow points very well. I don't have any issues in that with my Glocks or my cars, but some people, there are some 1911s, for example. There are some other guns out there that just don't seem to feed hollow points real well, and RBCD could be a good alternative for you if your gun does not feed hollow points very well, okay? So consider the fact that that might be something that you might want to look into, is if you just simply can't get hollow points to feed through your gun. Now, I've always been a big advocate of, do what you need to do. Modify your gun to make it shoot hollow points, okay? Because if it doesn't shoot hollow points good, it's not a really good defensive gun, in my opinion. Do what you have to do. But if you simply can't do it, rounds like Corban Powerball, for example. That's another good one. And RBCD. Ammo with good power, good stopping power, is being manufactured in a round nose bullet design. So RBCD could be an alternative for those of you that have a hard time getting hollow points to feed through your gun. And folks, if I seemed a little distracted there, some yo-yo slams on the brakes as I'm driving, and I had to use my driving skills there to maneuver out of the way. Happens all the time. It's one of the perils of podcasting while you're in a vehicle. But I use windshield time to bring you the Handgun World Show. Anyway, he said, one of the downsides, Bob, is they're one of the most expensive rounds produced. They are expensive. $1.50 a round or more. But you know, folks, here's how I feel about that. You've heard me say it many times. How much is your life worth? How much is your life worth? I can understand complaining about the cost of practice ammo, because it's practice ammo. But don't complain about the cost of real good defensive ammunition, because that's what you're going to use to save your life. And folks, if I'm going to save my life, I want the best. So that's the email, that's the testimonial. Now, I'm going to throw something in there. I did a little research. Let me give you an example of what he's talking about. What I was talking about, foot-pounds of energy. Let's get back to foot-pounds of energy. I looked at the ballistics of the RBCD ammo. They use a 60-grain bullet in 9mm. And that 60-grain bullet of RBCD ammo is traveling 2,010 feet per second and delivers 539 foot-pounds of energy. Again, this is measured at the muzzle from a 4-inch barrel. Compare that to my Corban DPX that I like to carry, 115 grain, delivers 399 foot-pounds energy. It's going a little over 1,200 feet per second. So 1,200 feet per second versus 2,000 feet per second. Maybe Corban DPX is about 1,350 feet per second. Okay, I don't have the box with me. Compared to 2,000 feet per second. And then compare the foot-pounds, 399 foot-pounds of energy versus 539 from the RBCD ammo. So yeah, I guess if you analyze the ballistics, you could say that there's some superior ballistics from this. Now, let me give you some negatives about the RBCD ammo. Went to a website called The Box of Truth. I love the Box of Truth website. I look at them frequently. If you want to know some good, honest opinions about guns and ammo, go to theboxoftruth.com. And I'm going to put a link to the specific post that I'm talking about. They tested some RBCD ammo. I'm having a hard time with RBCD, with saying that. I'm not sure why. But in this podcast, I'm having a hard time getting that out clearly. Okay, anyway, in this post, the guy from Box of Truth that was testing this ammo made a couple of observations, and here is some of them. He said, number one, as is usual with light and fast bullets, these rounds make spectacular explosions on the water jugs that he was shooting. He was shooting at water jugs, 1 gallon size water jugs. He said it made a spectacular explosion on the first water jug. He said, but then it failed to penetrate much further than that. So he said, are these rounds going to work? Yeah, they might. He said, but this is a good point right here. He said, but why trust might when bullets are available that will meet the 12-inch minimum penetration standard? Now, you've heard me talk about this before, the penetration of your ammo. It's considered that, pretty much widely considered, that you need to have at least 12 inches of penetration. In other words, your bullet has to be able to penetrate to hit the vital organs of the bad guy in order to have some stopping power. If it penetrates less than 12 inches, it's generally not considered a powerful enough round to get the job done to create the stopping power you needed. Now, that can be argued and sometimes is argued. And I'm kind of treading into thin water here, folks. I'm taking a risk when I do this because there's just as much argument about ammunition as there is about the caliber. All right? The size of the bullet, it has a lot of argument to it. There's also a lot of argument as to what's more important, penetration or lower penetration and more expansion or frangible bullets and so on and so forth. But he makes a pretty good point that he is concerned about whether the RBCD has enough penetration to do the job. And another observation that he made is he says the recoil was indeed light due to the light bullets. So that's one of the advantages, is the lighter recoil. And he said all rounds except for the 32 ACP functioned just fine. He also said, if I didn't know much about bullet performance, the violent explosive effects on the first water jug would be very impressive. But, he says, I know that penetration is also required, and these rounds do not meet the 12-inch minimum penetration standard. Again, so I wanted to give you both sides. I like to give objective opinions on this, and because I've never shot it, again, I solicited the opinion of somebody who actually carries it and uses it, and I went to a website, The Box of Truth, where they have analyzed it. So here's my thoughts. I think that you probably should buy some RBCD ammo and go test it. And go test it for yourself and test it out of your gun. You can't just rely on one test. If you go to YouTube and you search RBCD ammo, you're going to see a whole lot of ballistics tests. And you can take a look at some of those. The proof's in the pudding. Go buy some. Use it. Shoot it through your gun. Would I feel underarmed or would I feel like I wasn't very well defended with RBCD? No. No, I would have a lot of confidence. I do like the fact that it reduces the weight and reduces recoil. I really like that. That's appealing, especially someone like me that does carry what's considered a high-capacity gun, a Glock 19. So therefore, I'm thinking of buying some of this and trying it out. Again, it's so expensive, it's not the kind of rounds, not the kind of ammo that you want to go out and have a range day practice session with. But I'm going to give it a try with an open mind. I sure like my Corban DPX, though. If you look at all the ballistics tests out there on Corban DPX, any caliber, pick it. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in 380 caliber. 380 doesn't quite have the penetration as the 9s, the 40s, and the 45s, of course. But, boy, I sure like the expansion and penetration combination of the all-copper bullet of Corbine. But give RBCD a try. It can't hurt. Just beware that there's ups, there's some downsides of it, too. Okay? Now, let's shift gears back to the mouse guns and pocket pistols. And I'll start off with the question, why carry a mouse gun? Or also what's called a pocket pistol. I want you to consider something. I want you to consider that when you carry a handgun, you're pretty much making a compromise anyway. All right? And what I mean is you're making a compromise. You're compromising the lower stopping power of a handgun versus a long gun, a shotgun, or a rifle. Let me refer you back to episode number 16 that I did called All Handguns Suck. Okay? Now, I know this is the handgun show, and you might think, well, why did you say that all handguns suck, Bob? Go back and listen to episode number 16. You'll know what I mean. Compared to a rifle or a shotgun, all handguns do suck when it comes to stopping power. So you're making a compromise anyway. But how realistic is it to walk around with an AR-15 under your shirt or a pump 12 gauge under your shirt? You know, you can't do it. So, oftentimes, and most of the time, a handgun is what we have available to us. It's why I own more handguns than I do long guns. And because that's probably what's going to be more available, more easily available to me. So, consider something when you're carrying a handgun that you're going to be doing some compromises anyway. And there's a lot of different compromises we make. Sometimes we sacrifice caliber for capacity. Right? Like I do. I could carry a gun that's a 45, but I can't stuff 16 rounds into it like I can with a Glock 19 and carry a pistol the same size as the Glock 19. Okay, that's one compromise that I make. All right, sometimes we sacrifice fancy features for a lower cost gun. Sometimes you give up some sight radius. All right, the length of the distance between the front sight and the rear sight. Sometimes you give that up to get better concealability. All right, less sight radius generally means less accuracy at long distances. Okay, so there's a lot of compromises we make. In my opinion, oftentimes the compromises that we make sometimes go too far. And I want to talk about that right now. So what compromise, what sacrifice do you make when you carry a mouse gun or a pocket pistol? Let me define a little bit further. I mentioned earlier that the mouse gun is something that fits into your back pocket. Okay? Typically, these mouse guns also have very, very short sight radiuses. Okay? And anything that is small enough to fit and be drawn from your pocket usually is going to be in a very, very small caliber too, with the exception of the Car PM9, and I haven't found much that's smaller than a Car PM9 unless you want to spend a lot of money and get a Rohrbaugh. There's a brand out there called Rohrbaugh, Rohrbaugh. They're very, very expensive, but they're powerful little pocket pistols in 9mm. So you're sacrificing stopping power. There's no question that you're sacrificing stopping power. Okay? Now, you got some people that say, well, I'll just shoot them in the head. I'll make sure that it's a headshot. And shot placement is what it's all about. And yeah, that's true, but consider how your fine motor skills, consider the fact that you're going to be under such stress. It's going to be very, very difficult to achieve the kind of shot placements. You think you're going to shoot headshots all the time under the stress of being in a gunfight when somebody else is shooting back at you? I beg to differ. Sometimes it's hard enough to hit center of mass, much less a headshot. Now, with modern ammunition, I own a 380 mouse gun. I own a Car P380. I absolutely love it. After I gave it my 1,000-round trigger job, after I ran 1,000 rounds through this thing, and I became a better shot after shooting 1,000 rounds with it, I sold my Kel-Tec P380. I love the Car P380. I'll get to that in a little bit later in this podcast, and I'll explain to you why I like it so much. But the major downside, stopping power. But 380 Corbine DPX, folks, I'll tell you what, Read the ballistics of that. I think it's 199 foot-pounds of energy. Not too bad. I do question the penetration of it. Now, will a 380 kill a human-sized target? Sure. Yeah, it'll kill him if you can afford to wait a couple minutes for your bad guy to bleed out. And let me ask you a question. What's the bad guy going to do while you're waiting for him to bleed out? Keep shooting at you? Probably. Keep coming at you with the knife? Probably. So you might be able to take those headshots easily at the range and practice up, but in real life, in a real life gun encounter, it's just not quite that easy, not quite that simple. Now, those of us who carry guns, we carry a gun in preparation to face the last thing that we ever want to have to do, and that is to use it. The last thing we ever have to want to do is to use it to defend ourselves, all right? And if I'm not in any sort of trouble, if there's nothing going on, if there's no threat, then the weapon that I have with me doesn't matter. It has no significance whatsoever what I have, all right? But if I am in trouble, if I am in grave danger, then all of a sudden that weapon might become the only thing that stands between me and dying. And knowing that, why wouldn't I want the absolute best tool available for the job? Your handgun might possibly be the only thing that allows you to get home safely that night. And I've mentioned this many times, you simply may not have a shotgun or a rifle available to you. Okay? We would all like to think that we could pull out our 12 gauge and blow the bad guy away with this huge spray of death rays of double-aught buckshot, and he'll drop instantly. And actually, if you hit somebody with a 12 gauge double-aught buckshot, yeah, he probably will drop instantly, and he probably won't keep coming at you and shooting at you. The one-shot stopping power of a solid hit inside of 20 yards with a 12 gauge double-aught buck is amazing. But what if you don't have that 12 gauge? What if you don't have the time to get to your AK-47? With this in mind, I hope you'll carry a handgun with more stopping power and more stopping power potential than a mouse gun. Now, I own a mouse gun. You know what I use it for? I use it for as a backup gun. I think mouse guns, my humble opinion, should be backup guns only. I don't think they should be your primary carry handgun. I don't think they should be your primary carry handgun. They just don't have enough stopping power, and they just don't have enough capacity. And I favor capacity over stopping power. I'd like to be able to shoot multiple times if I have to. And that's where the mouse guns really fail, is they really fail in capacity. They're all single stacks. Most of them have anywhere between 6 and 8 rounds in them. I'd like to have more than that. Is it better than no gun at all? Sure it is. Remember, rule number one of a gun fight, have a gun. It's better than no gun at all. It should be your backup. Mouse guns are typically carried in the pocket as a backup. Sometimes they're carried on the ankle as a backup. They make great ankle carry guns, especially the Carr PM9. The Carr PM9 makes a great ankle carry gun. You can forget it's there with the right kind of ankle holster. The Galco ankle glove is a good holster for that, by the way. Okay? And I want for you the same thing that you want. I want you to make it home safely. And if you have to defend your life, a service caliber. And when I mean by a service caliber, I mean 9mm, 40, 45, 357 Magnum, 38 Special. That's probably a better tool for the job. And as I mentioned, yes, any gun's better than no gun at all, but it most often doesn't truly have to come down to that. And a lot of people, here's the thing, a lot of people tell themselves that it, and they feel better trading security for convenience. They tell themselves, well, this is better than carrying nothing. I'll slip this little 380 in my pocket, and it's a whole lot better than carrying nothing. Yeah, that's true, but people talk themselves into that when really they probably could, even though they don't know it, with the right belt and the right holster, they probably could still carry either a full size or a mid size, or what's called a compact size gun, like the size of a Commander size 1911, for example, or a Glock 19, or a Springfield XD compact. Sometimes it's not too much harder, folks, to carry those kinds of guns. You'd be amazed. I'll give you a personal example. I carried my Glock 19 for an entire weekend, all of my waking hours, for an entire weekend one time. And my wife hugged me several times throughout the weekend. My son gave me a couple of hugs. We were doing a lot of family activities. My son and I went fishing that weekend. We went out in the backyard and we played a game of catch with the football, threw the football out in the backyard. We went shopping. We went to the neighbor's house for a quick visit. We drove about 60 miles that weekend. I even grilled steaks on the barbecue on Saturday night, and no one knew the whole weekend that I had my Glock 19 on me. Throughout all that activity I just mentioned, no one knew I had my Glock 19 on my belt in a good inside-the-waistband holster. And it wasn't until the next day when my wife saw me take off my shirt that she saw the gun. So if you think, oh, I just can't conceal anything on my belt, think again. I just got a new belt in the mail, folks, I want to talk about. I bought a Wilderness Tactical. I bought a Wilderness Tactical, the frequent flyer style. Inch and a half, phenomenal belt for concealed carry. What I like about these types of belts is I can adjust it to exactly the tension I want. Depending on what my weight is doing, I can expand it and contract that belt. I don't have to worry about making sure that I have extra belt loops or conventional belts are limiting to whatever belt loop you can put it on, or whatever belt, the holes in the leather belt. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't have to worry about that using a Wilderness Tactical belt. Okay, so you'd be amazed at what you can conceal if you just try hard, and you can get used to it. And a concealed carry handgun doesn't necessarily need to be extremely comfortable. You'll get used to it, folks. It'll become part of you. And you know what? Eventually, if you carry something day in and day out, you're going to feel naked without it. You're going to feel like there's something really, really missing without that pistol. So you'd be amazed that you can carry a lot more. Use those pocket pistols and mouse guns as backups. Now, if you're going to get a mouse gun, I would get the absolute most reliable thing you can get. Spend some money. I'm not a big fan of the Kel-Tex. I did have one for a while, but like I said, I got rid of it when I got my Kar P380. That new SIG that's out, for you 1911 shooters, check out that new SIG P238. It's meant to be carried cocked and locked. So for those of you that like to carry cocked and locked, that SIG could be a real good answer for you. It's not very expensive. I've seen some for less than $600. It's not that bad. It's good quality carry gun. It's actually got some real sights. Also, get a gun that's got some real sights on it. I know that you may not always use the sights. Oftentimes with a little mouse gun like this, you're just going to point shoot, right? But if you do get to a point where you have to use the sights, the Kar P380, the SIG P238, they've got some real sights on it that you can use. And what I really like about the car is I'm a big fan of XS Big Dot sights. And they make the XS Big Dot sights now for the Kar P380, and they also make it for the Kar PM9. Any of the car models you can put the XS Big Dot sights on. So I really like that. That's one of the reasons why I recommend it. And also the SIG sights are pretty good. I actually went to the gun show, and I'm going to see if they have one in the gun show that I'm headed to right now. But the last time I went to a gun show, I had a chance to handle that P238, and I was pretty impressed with the sights on it. So I would highly recommend that you get a mouse gun or a pocket pistol as soon as you can. Now, as soon as you get it, give it a 1,000-round trigger job. As soon as you possibly can. And I know 1,000 rounds of 380 is expensive, but again, how much is your life worth, folks? And the expectations that a gun should have one round stopping power is not realistic anyway, handguns. That's just not, so don't worry too much of that. This is your backup gun. And I've always had the firm belief that a hit anywhere from a 380 mouse gun is better than a missed shot from a 9mm or a 45. And the 380 in your pocket is better than the 45 you left at home. Hopefully you didn't leave your 45 at home. Hopefully you're carrying it. Hopefully you invested in a 45 that you can carry comfortably, and you got a good belt, and you got a good holster, and you're keeping it with you. But if for some reason it's not on you, that 380 in your pocket could save your life. And so as I bring this show to a close, I'm also going to refer you to a review that Chuck Hawks did on Corban DPX ammo. I'll put a link. I'm not going to spend too much time because I've kind of hit the time limit of the podcast here, but He did a really good review on Corban DPX ammo, and I'll put a link in today's show notes on that. And you know, you remember earlier I was talking about foot-pounds of energy? The Corban DPX in 380 caliber, the Corban DPX in 380 caliber, has nearly as much power, not quite, but almost as many foot-pounds of energy as a standard 9mm hollow point. So they've really improved the ammo, folks. And by the way, in case you didn't know, 380 is 9mm. The diameter of a 380 bullet is 9mm. Okay? It's not advisable, but you could put a 380 round inside of a 9mm gun and shoot it. The problem is the 380 is not going to have enough power to cycle the slide. You're going to have a single-shot gun. Okay? And it's not advisable. I'm not saying I advocate this, but if it happened, and this happened to me one time, I accidentally stuck a 380 round in my 9mm. I did, I'll admit that. A 380 is really a 9mm short. It's called, it used to be called a 9mm Kurtz, is what it used to be called. 9mm Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z. It's the same diameter, folks. It's just a lighter bullet, and it's not as hot loaded. It doesn't have as much pressure, so it doesn't have quite as much power, and it's a smaller cartridge overall. But it is 9mm in diameter. Size of the hole is going to be the same. Penetration might not be as good with the 380. But again, the Corban DPX, I am pretty impressed. So, you know, if you believe in 9mm hollow points, standard 9mm hollow points, that would be about the same as carrying a 380 mouse gun with Corban DPX. Buffalo Bore. Check into Buffalo Bore. They make some flat nose bullets, 95 grain flat nose. And I'll put a link in today's show notes on that too. Those have a pretty decent amount of power. If you read the ballistics on those, those are pretty good. Buffalo Boar makes some really good stuff. A lot of recoil on those. That's why I say you got to practice with these mouse guns, folks. These things are not easy to shoot. One of the big negatives, I guess I forgot to cover, and I'll cover real quick before I sign off. These things are not easy to shoot. They pack a lot of recoil, especially the Kel-Tex and the new Taurus and the new... even the Car P380. These polymer guns that you slide in your pocket, these things are so light that when you put that plus P ammo in them, they're tough to shoot. A lot of people think, oh, I'll get my girlfriend or I'll get my wife one of these little 380s. Think again, folks. I don't know if I'd recommend that. I don't know if I'd recommend you get her a little Kel-Tec 380 or a little Car 380, because they're not all that fun to shoot. Okay? Even the Car PM9 has some snap to it. Get her a Glock 26 and get her to learn how to carry it and conceal it properly. That's an excellent gun, I think, for females. It gives them the good 9mm stopping power. Glock 26 is low recoil, accurate enough to get the job done. Something like that, or get her a subcompact XD or something like that, or the subcompact Smith & Wesson M&P 9 compact, something like that. Or get her a small 1911. Not the 3-inch, but get a little, you know, commander-sized, lightweight 1911 or something like that. These mouse guns are hard to shoot. If you are going to get her that, if she is insisting on having a mouse gun, send her to the range a lot. You go with her because you need the practice too. And practice, practice, practice. Give it a 1,000-round trigger job. I promise you will be better shot after shooting that thing 1,000 rounds. Budget the cost. Your life is worth that, folks. It's cheap insurance. Okay? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off on episode number 38 of the Handgun World Show. Thanks for tuning in. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. I'm Bob Main. Thanks for listening to the show. Catch you next time. I'm a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan. All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.